This is RSBME Update, episode 442, recorded Friday, December 6th, 2013. Projectile ammunition. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of RSBNB Update. Just two people here with you guys this week. Myself, a.k.a. Shane12088. And
me, J1J2J3, also known as Trekkie on the forums, also known as the nerdiest guy besides Shane.
That's quite the label to give yourself. I'm sure there are other candidates for that.
Oh, nerdy enough.
Alrighty. So, interesting week this week on RS, isn't it?
We have one new monster and a big change. And
yeah.
I actually posted on.
Let's start with the Slayer, shall we? Since that's probably the simpler of the two changes this week. This week's update is a level 92 Slayer creature, which I cannot fight, but you actually went there. So why don't you tell us exactly where you went?
I went to the Piscatorian area because I didn't have for Slayer task. But for now, just you do get a little bonus, Slayer bonus, for killing those right now. If they are your Slayer task, or a small amount of bonus if you are... A small amount of bonus if you are not. So the monster is, as you expect, he's one of those hybrid monsters that Jack is trying to push on us. And it's basically a giant bull.
I see.
It has two forms. It has two forms of attack, range and melee. And as being all new monsters that are coming out lately, it has a very nasty special attack. So
what
the
does
special attack
do?
It hurts you a lot. It's kind of, think of it kind of like the skyworms, who they burrow and pop under you, type of thing.
Okay.
The strike worm. So you do have to, it does do a little animation from when I was doing it. If you were in melee range, it will actually pound on its chest, signaling, hey, you have to stop me or I'm going to hurt you a lot. And you either have to use flurry, which is a melee ability, or you have to use rapid fire, which is a range ability.
Pew.
And do keep in mind, and do keep in mind that both of these do are threshold abilities, so you do need to have at least 50% adrenaline in order to use these things.
All right. Now, a question for you. Why is it either rapid fire or flurry?
Well, apparently what happens if you use that, it actually stuns the monster. I guess you attack it so quickly in a such a short amount of time, it kind of dazes it, kind of stun it for a time being. And yeah, so that's basically it. There is one nasty little side effect about this monster that you should know, is that as its health starts to degenerate, it will actually get an increase in defense.
Oh, okay.
So you'll actually find yourself, as you're fighting it, that you're getting a little bit harder to hit or get big hits unless you stun him.
So in other words, you want to spike the critter and keep him stunned.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How many life points does the thing have?
Oh, shoot. I can't remember. It was quite a bit, actually. I remember it took me a while to fight to kill it, to kill one. But let me see. Maybe it's on here somewhere.
Before anyone
One thing about this... Go ahead.
Okay. Before anyone gets too far ahead, they say that combat level 150 at least is recommended. How did you find that recommendation?
I honestly just used double chaotic with full bandos. I brought some prayer pots with me. I also brought my unicorn familiar, because I have so much I just want to use them up anyway. As long as you kind of pay attention to the special attack, you're pretty good. It doesn't, the special attack is what really hurts you. It has, I just looked it up on the RS official wiki, and it has 16,000 like 1,000 hit points.
All right.
That's a lot of hit points,
actually. Yeah, so 16,000 doesn't really feel like that many life points. You could probably square it away with a couple of thresholds, but you say the key is keeping it stunned, right?
Yeah, so apparently if, you know, you don't have, it has the ability to use the special ability before you get reached threshold. So some people have suggested they put it on, you know, something like backhand or to stun the creature so it doesn't hurt you.
Right.
Although when it's relatively low defense, you may actually find yourself in a bit of a bind because the odds of your backhand hitting it when it's such low defense and it's, I'm sorry, such a low health, you may find yourself that you actually miss with the slap.
Hmm.
And so what you find yourself using is that you don't bother with ultimates. You just have a bunch of thresholds and basic abilities because you can't use an ultimate on it, because if you use an ultimate, you may end up missing the opportunity to use flurry. So
that's
you
right.
Actually rely a bit more on threshold abilities. I tried it with anticipation, but I haven't been able to time it correctly when it does use the special attack. So my advice is just have flurry ready to hit it. Yeah, that's about it. I put on, supposedly, if you use flurry and then destroy, it actually does a really nice spike damage, which I think people may enjoy.
Mm-hmm. I wonder with a critter like this if it would be possible to throw some magic in as well, like that one magic spell that reduces the target's defense. Also, maybe throwing in some boosts of your own to increase your accuracy.
You know how we are, Shane. We have so many potions in our inventory, in our banks, that I just popped on super strength and extreme attack and everything, and I'm just trying to use it all up.
All right.
Then,
and you're
most some people
combat,
have suggested
right?
to also have, yeah, max melee combat. Some people have suggested you also put in Quake, which is, well, actually no, you can't. If you are using a two-handed weapon. Let me see. Flurry. Oh, we can't really. Wait, never mind. Because flurry is actually a two-handed, double weapon, and Quake is the two-hander, so you can't really use that. But I find melee much simpler and easier than trying to deal with the.
Deal with what?
The combat type.
Ah, okay.
So, just melee is my suggestion. If you. Well, some people are thinking, you know, hey, if it's melee, switch to range. It's like, nah, just stay with melee. You should be okay. The other little thing is that, do you want to know what it's going to use? So if it's on 4 shooting range, it'll actually shoot a green gas at you. So if you want, you can use protection from range. If it's standing on its two hind legs, it's technically using melee because it's hitting you with its fist of fury.
All right. So it doesn't sound like there's too much to worry about when you're fighting this. With regards to drops, did you get any of the drops, either the journal, mask fragments, or any gloves?
Well, I got the Tuska mask, upper tusk. However, I didn't fight it as much. I spent for like 20 minutes, as you know how my internet is. One thing I would suggest you also bring with you is your charm imp, because quite a bit of charms are dropped, mostly
Ooh,
crimson.
Nice.
And the other one. What's the other thing you should also do? Oh, bring alking runes, because it drops a lot of rune items, actually. Rune spears, plate legs, maybe a couple of helmets.
You know what this reminds me of? Back in the olden days, reminds
the
me of the Shadow Warriors. Because it seems like this is what everybody will end up fighting if it's dropping rune and crimson charms. All right, very good. One more question regarding this. So you didn't get any of the other drops. How crowded was it when you were there?
It wasn't crowded. I had about 3 people there every time I went at different times, and I think I believe that if you manage to get it as a Slayer task in the dungeon from Curadel, you should be fine. It's relatively a lot. And one thing about Pistatoria is that you're relatively close to a bank, so if you start taking a lot of damage, you could just like, retreat, head to the bank your stuff, and you get healed up all in one go.
What about the bones? Did you grab those?
No, we entered. Yeah, I got the bones. They actually gave around, I want to say, roughly 150 XP every time I buried it, but I haven't done it on, I haven't put them into a altar or anything.
If it's 150 and you put them into a lit altar, you'd be looking at around 525 XP per altar. Because I think the modifier is 3.5 if I remember correctly. So, I mean, this NPC is a great NPC for high levels. So let's say you're looking to train Mali. You have 92 Slayer. You want to maybe do some prayer training as well. Perfect time to combine this with those new Sign of the Porters from Divination and transport these bones back to your bank and or even just use your what's that thing called? The Bone Crusher from Dungeoneering and get prayer XP. Seems very nice. Probably a reason for me to get 92 Slayer. So, pretty good.
Well, remember, the Bone Crusher doesn't work with those bones. It's not considered as regular bones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're not considered regular. It's, it's supposed to be slightly better than, big bones, I think it was.
Oh, okay. Well, that's too bad. Still,
yeah,
I mean,
Bone Crusher will work.
You could pick them up, bury them, and get good XP still. But the main part of this update, the Eru or Erut, how would you say that?
Erut, I guess.
Erut, Eru, I don't know. Is the level 90 power armor gloves. They're melee, of course, 108 rating, and they also give you a bit of damage boost as usual with power armor. And of course, they disappear on use. We do have a question about this later, so we're not going to go too into depth on it right now. But the price that these started out at on the Grand Exchange is about 30 million GP. Easy way for people to get rich. I don't exactly know if this price will stick because that just seems a little too expensive for something that disappears, if you ask me, and only gives you 8 damage. 8 damage increase and about 108 armor. A little too much for my taste, but we'll talk about that later. Anything else you got to say about these Slayer creatures?
Watch its stance and hack it. Hack at it.
Yes, good. That's a good point. What combat type? Slash, crush, or stab?
Oh, it's not weak to any of those. You just use whatever weapon you have handy. So you are going to two-handed weapon. Not two-handed. You do need a double weapons. So you know,
yeah,
keep that
use
in
flurry,
mind.
Right?
So, yeah, that you want to use range, which that one actually range will be just about anything, any range weapon.
Yeah, because you can use the rapid fire on anything. So.
Alright. So in theory, if you want to try range, you could use range with a shield and see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. I don't believe there's anything else that we need to talk about with this, so we can move on to the other parts of this week's update where you did mention that is a bit of a controversial change regarding summoning and summoning pouches. So basically what happened is summoning pouches can now be made at the bank into uncharged pouches. Then you just take them to the obelisk to infuse them. So what do you think of this?
There's a lot of mixed results with this one. Some people are liking it because they can stay at the bank and in theory do a little bit more because now you don't have to do 25, you didn't do 28. Whether that 3 makes a big difference in the long run, it's up to you. But most people found this kind of a useless update because those who are who are training summoning, they don't usually have a problem with selling the noted tertiary into the NPC, buying it back, and then continuing summoning from there. Or they can run to Taverly, that Taverly's bank, which is, again, not that far away.
Yep. And before we go any further, it's also worth noting that this week's Wheel of Fortune update was the Spirit Gems in-game as drops. They said in-game it drops, but I haven't seen where any of these would come from. I just seen them on the Squeal Wheel. So people were getting, as they do normally with Squeal of Fortune updates, they were getting their knickers in a knot about this, which, you know, really I don't think is the ulterior motive here, trying to force people to buy spins in order to be successful at summoning. I think this is the pillar to a summoning update in 2014. How about you?
Say what?
I think this is the first step towards a 2014 summoning update.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Because what was said at RuneFest was that summoning is the pouch-making skill, not summoning. And, you know, if you think about that, that's entirely true right here, because what they've effectively done is they've just made this skill into herb lore, except with an extra step now. So this is not furthering what they want to do with summoning in 2014. What they said they wanted to do with summoning in 2014 was make it so that familiars would ultimately level up with you. So the example would be you have your spirit bunnyip. You create this bunnyip and it levels up with you as you go along. Now, this is not what this update enables, of course, probably because we're a while off from that. But my theory is that this update is going to be the new way of effectively creating these pouches that you need for summoning. You're going to make these uncharged pouches at the bank, and then you're going to cast some voodoo summoning spell on them to make them into actual pouches. You're not going to need to go to the obelisks anymore to infuse the pouches. So once you make this summoning pouch, you're going to have this thing, then you're going to use it in combat or in skilling or wherever you might be, and that's going to be the new way to level up summoning. Granted, you're still going to get a small amount of XP for making the actual pouches as you do now, but you're also going to get the bulk of your XP from using them and leveling them up. So I don't think that this is meant to hurt players and make summoning slower. I think this is just meant to improve summoning and act as a pillar of where we're going in the future. So that's my take on this, and that's why I don't think it's worth reacting in a reactionary matter so quickly to this update. So with that, what do you think? Do you think this is aiming summoning towards where we're going to see it go in 2014?
I don't know what they're trying to do with this. Like some people kind of said, it ain't broken, why fix it? And you have to kind of wonder what's Jagex's plan for doing this. Some people think it's, you know, in the forum, believe that it's kind of a waste of time. Changing, because now instead of doing, you know, back then you just, as I was saying before, just pay the guy to buy your items back and keep on going. It was faster. It cost you more, but it was faster. But then summoning is supposed to be a money sink anyway. So, we have, you know, just a lot of mixed results with this one.
Yeah, and as I said, this effectively makes it Herblore 2.0. Because it's the same thing. You're getting these uncharged things and you're just going somewhere to finish them. So it's kind of like a lighter version of Herblore. And, you know, this is probably what they want the skill to be. They probably just want you to create pouches instantly, and then after that, use them and start leveling them up. Because, as they said at RuneFest, that is what summoning should be, and that's what it's become, or what it needs to become again. And you know, that makes sense, because summoning never really did make sense as a combat skill, now did it?
Well, as they were first pointing out, summoning was something more of a all-around skill where, you know, you have those used for fishing, those used for woodcutting, those for, you know, every general day activity. Like, remember when I was going for 99 crafting, I always had a magpie out because it got me a little bit extra money every time. Combat, I honestly now with EOC, summonings are kind of useless because they die faster than anything else.
Well, that's what this next point is. The stats of several summoning familiars have been overhauled. I of course don't have the level to test the ones that everyone likes, like the Steel Titans and Iron Titans and everything like that. But I mean, if they said they tweaked them, then that's welcome news. I don't suppose you had a chance to test any of them, did you?
No, I did not.
What's your summoning level?
90. I can't remember. I can't remember right now, not off the top of my head.
All right. Well, I mean, then you got the spirit gems, and I don't think that's a money grab. I honestly think it's just positioning Jagex better for the future. So, I actually got one of them today. Only one, though. And these are available from the 5th to the 9th, so it'll be interesting to see how many of these I can come away with. Because in their last skill promotion, the protein planks, I only got 50 of them. So fingers crossed for better luck this time.
Okay.
Alrighty, Festa Alvora is again active for all of December. 50% XP boost for half an hour a day. I think for maximum bonus XP of 50,000, so definitely use that on your slower skills. Can save you some money along the way. We've increased the XP rates for training at Clan Citadel skill plots.
Yay.
What were they before? Or did you do
I
your
don't know
Citadel
and I don't
yet this
care.
week?
Did part of it, but the problem is that since I have a bunch of bonuses stacked up all over the place, I can't get an accurate count of how much I was getting.
Okay. Well, that's fine. So when I first told you about this, you were very happy. So obviously it's a
Course I
needed
was.
update, right?
I'd say that wasn't really needed. I think most people did the Citadel just because, they want their Citadel to grow or, get the little bonus XP here and there. But, it's just one of those like, oh, hey, this gives more incentive for people to go into the Citadel.
And speaking of that, we actually want to open up the Bits and Bytes Citadel again. So we need 5 people to attempt to visit the Citadel in a 1 week span. So I'm going to go later tonight and do it. So if we can get 4 other people aside from me who want to do that, just go visit the Citadel. It's Bits and Bytes. Pretty much anyone can invite to it. So if you're interested in joining, just contact one of us. We'll be in the Bits Bytes French chat. Well, you can't do that because you have your own clan, but I can bring people into that if they want to do that. Alrighty, and retro-style dragon plate and infinity robes are now available in the Solomon's General Store. I was disappointed with this update. Let me tell you why.
Jeez, really?
Yeah, I was
You
hoping we'd
trying
see.
to try you're probably thinking that it's going to try and promote 07?
No, not that. I was actually hoping that we'd see things like rune armor. I mean, yeah, the old-fashioned dragon plate is nice and everything like that, but I just really preferred having or would prefer to have access to the old rune and adamant armor because that armor is just what things used to look like, and I know there's a bunch of people, Alex in particular, would really like to have his old adamant character back. So I was kind of hoping for that, but I guess depending on the success of this, we'll have to see what happens in the future. Oh, and on this note, let me just say that I would love for more dragon keepsake slots so that I can have more than one outfit keepsaked. That would be one of my wish lists for 2014 for Jagex to implement. Alrighty, moving on to the patch notes for the week. Nothing really to mention here this week for me except the fact that the Backriminal bolts have been made accessible again. based on the evolution of combat, because these things came out before EOC, and now they're actually useful in EOC. Basically, they've had their stats altered to compensate for the removal of pre-evolution of combat targeting ability. So they have 720 damage now, which is slightly less compared to the Royal Bolts. So kind of odd that it's like that, given they're both level 80, but still nice to see that we have a second choice for Royal Bolts and free level 80 bolt or projectile ammunition thingies.
Projectile ammunition thingy.
Yeah, I guess I was trying to figure out what to say there. But anyways, do you have anything from the patch notes?
Nothing's catching my eye right now.
Alrighty, what's next?
Well, we got great news, Shane.
What's that?
Jagex raised a lot of money.
Yeah, they almost reached their goal. I think it was around 93,000, if I remember correctly, what they got.
Total amount raised is $90,838.
Considering their goal was $100,000, they did a very good job with this. And I mean, not only is it helpful to the people benefiting from these charities, but it's also a major benefit to the in-game economy. So players across the board can thank themselves and be happy with what they did here, and knowing it was for a great cause, both in-game and out-of-game.
And, you know, just to give you what their numbers again, many tens of thousands of you chipped in to contribute a staggering 544 billion GP of in-game wealth, for which Jagex will donate $54,000. We also donated over 7,000 bonds, which means an additional top of $36,000. So very 90 nice. Grand altogether.
And just as a reminder, these went to the Willow Foundation, Special Effect, Actions for Kids, Games Aid, Internet Watch Foundation, Heart, and the DEC Philippines Typhoon Appeal Program. So very nice indeed to wrap up that charity drive had a good time of year to be doing that sort of thing. So once again, well done to everybody that donated. I think that's good. And this next thing is something that they did in 2013 and they're doing again in 2014. And that's the Premier Club. Basically, you can buy your membership all at once for the year and get some other goodies along the way. You and I both bought this last year.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting it again this year?
I thought we'd just go through, so yeah, I'll get it for another year.
All right. I'm not entirely convinced that I want to do that. Here's why. First things first.
You got nothing?
Well, no. It's nice getting all the cosmetic items and whatnot like that and the extra squeal spin. But this year they're giving 150,000 loyalty points rather than rune coins. And I can accumulate all those loyalty points on my own just being a normal member. So there's that. The extra spin on the Squeal of Fortune is nice. I really haven't used any of the cosmetic overrides, so it's not something I'm too fussed about. Now, this next one, I don't know how I feel about a VIP world and exclusive game world for the Premier Club members.
Woo!
You think that's a good idea?
Eh. You know, it's going to be packed with about hundreds of level 200 maxed out people, and they're just going to go boss hunting all
that's
day
long.
That's
the max servers.
Anyway. Still.
I don't know. I mean,
it's still the same thing.
There's that. There's also going to be new Q&A sessions exclusive to the VIP world. That could be interesting, I guess. A VIP badge that appears next to your name, similar to what PMods get. And a VIP badge for the forums. You know, one thing it doesn't say here for this year is 2014 beta access. I'm wondering if they realized that was a bad thing to do. Because if you think about it, bringing all these people into the beta...
Nothing.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Because bringing all these people into the beta... are people who just bought into it, really. They didn't exactly qualify as beta testers, which is what you need in a game or any other application. You need people who are actually going to test. Because, as I said many times before, that's what happened with the Evolution of Combat. We had a beta test that wasn't carried out effectively. So, I mean, it'd be nice if, you know, maybe that's an indication of things to come. But I'm still on the fence with this. So you're definitely going to go for it?
Let's see. Yeah, finally, I was just doing a quick little math. It feels like I'll be paying more for joining this than last time.
Yeah, I mean, the price is $84.95 US for 1 year, which I don't know what that is over there.
Yeah, so I'm... Yeah, it feels like I'm paying an extra... Well, I'm paying... technically, let's see, about $7 US... Or $8 US, so if you want to do $8, that would work. So, I'm not saving a lot. I'm just saving, like, what, $10 over
there
for a year.
And see, the thing is, I'm on the original $5.50 or $5 price, so...
So you actually pay more now.
Yeah, exactly. And loyalty points, I can get those. Exclusive pets. Piggles the Flying Pig, really. Commander Porkins. But the
Commander
squeals,
Porkins.
Yeah. That's one of the pets you can get. That's like really what we've gone down
get
to
it,
here.
But, okay.
So, I mean, the extra squeal spin is nice, but I don't think it's worth doing it just for that. So, I'm on the fence, and I mean, let's see. There's 365 days in a year, yeah? So 365, and let's say I don't even remember what the actual squeal price is for around 350 spins, but I don't know. Like, if I need spins, I could just get the spins, and I can get my own loyalty points. So that's my rationale of why I don't get that. But I don't know. I'm going to think about it. What about you? You decided since we've been discussing it, or?
I may get it again. It's, you know, it does save me a little bit of money, so might as well. Although I'm not paying it right now.
Alrighty then. What is next?
We have the community roundup.
Yeah, community roundup. Anything jump out at you this week on here?
The Church of You. Whee! The Church of You.
Oh, yeah, the Machinima. Made by that guy.
We talked about that, didn't we? Yeah. Got some fan art. We had an interesting picture of the wise old man, although he seems way older beyond his age. Yeah, he's old.
It looks like he grew some nose hair. Hair on top of the bridge of his nose. You know,
see.
Have a listen to the Scape Main Bold guitar cover. I have a feel... Like, it feels like we've heard that before.
Let me see.
I'll just play a bit of it for you guys. But I feel like I've heard this before. Stefan Mowick. Scape Main Bold guitar cover. I mean, doesn't it seem like we've heard that before? And that's in the same kind of guitar.
The old version, the old theme of RS.
Yeah, but in the guitar, I feel like I've heard that before, as though someone else has done.
Sounded like a little bit of Walking Dead in there too, a little bit of Zelda.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. That's right.
What, the Walking Dead or Zelda?
Yeah, Zelda. It did sound like a bit of Zelda. So. All right.
Okay, and one other little thing, players' voices. It's your chance to become being a guest writer for the roundup. You can write about anything you like, up to 200 words, provided it's all about RS. Post it in our submission thread, it might be featured in our next edition.
And then there's the
And
one here
is
from PandaGo Roar. The updates I'm most looking forward to in 2014 are the following: player-owned ports V2. This will hopefully make POP even more useful, giving more incentive for people to skill. Skiller Boss, woo, something me and my skiller friends can enjoy. 200th quest, I know this is just gonna be amazing. Mini game reworks, I really hope this gives every minute in the game it more players, which can enjoy it daily. I'd hope Castle Wars, Fist of Guthix, and Pest Control rewards would also get buffed. The Giant Mole rework, oh, you know this will be amazing. Better get yourself a Falador Shield 4. In conclusion, I can't wait to see what the next year has to offer us, and although it surely seems really promising, I hope everyone will enjoy next year as much as I will. Maybe we should write something up encouraging people to listen to RSBNB update.
Sure, I believe in you, Shane. I heard that. Ugh.
Alrighty then. Well, let's move on from that. So next up, the behind-the-scenes video, The Bird and the Beast, featuring World Event 2. So someone's actually going to die in this, either Armadill or Bandos. I hope that Armadill will emerge victorious, and it's going to be interesting to see what goes on, because they did say that the PvP in this update is actually going to be safe. So,
Yeah, it's going to be Soul Wars, but 10 times worse.
yeah, except out in the real world. Can you imagine what kind of bugs we're going to see on day one? Like, just imagine if we had another Falador Massacre type thing where people who
You imagine
weren't
how laggy
intending.
it's.
That too. That too. You're right. But anyways, this event's only going to be 6 weeks. Definitely will be interesting to talk about and participate in. And I think everyone's going to have a bit more incentive to participate in this one than they did the last one. So, any thoughts on that before we actually see it come out either next week or the week after?
Prepare for battle. Your life for ire.
Alrighty then. Well, that's it for IRS updates. Let us move on to the questions. The first one is an audio question from 101 Duck 1.
Hello again, hosts. It's 101 Duck 1 with a couple questions. First off, Shane, how dare you indoctrinate the listeners with your Armadillian dogma? Bandos isn't just some lumbering brute. He's really a tactician and much more intelligent than he appears. He cuts throats, yeah, and to get ahead, but he isn't afraid to actually own up to who he really is. Fight for Bandos with bravery, and he's going to reward you greatly. Now, with that over, I have an actual question. With the release of Razorback gloves this week, the immediate plummet of the selling price from around 35 mil, or at least on the GE, to around 6 mil makes it all too clear that the player base really isn't yet adjusted to the concept of the degrade to dust armor. Do you guys think the players will ever like fully embrace the concept? And if so, when? I have money to buy some 90 level armor, but I'm sticking to 70 and 80 because I feel it'll cost me less over time. How do you guys feel? Well, thanks again for the show and have an awesome week.
So, degrade to dust armor. It's kind of what I mentioned earlier. I don't really see the point in spending money on it unless you get it as a drop.
It's going to be a drop. It is a drop, actually.
I know, but I mean, it just doesn't feel for, like I said, an 8 damage bonus to spend 7 million on something that's going to disappear. Like,
It probably will drop in price later on. Not that much, but later on.
yeah, when they become common a couple of years from now. But still, I mean, yeah, it's a way of giving money to other players, but it doesn't solve the core problem that we've been talking about for a long time, and that is pieces of equipment just being dropped and not using the skills to create them or imbue them with higher level special effects. So it doesn't help the problem, and I just personally don't see the point in spending that much money on them. So I'm going to say that I really am not a fan of Degrade to Dust.
As for me, it's a way to try and, if you want to say, spread the wealth around, because we have people who, remember, donated billions and billions of gold to the well over the past month, and they have billions and billions and billions left. So in a way, you know, those who are going to buy these things aren't worried about money. They probably have more money than they know what to do with.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
So for them, it means nothing.
Yeah, and that's fine for them. And I mean, they recommended that level 90 equipment would be good, but how exactly are you supposed to get the level 90 equipment if you need higher level equipment to do that in the first place? So there needs a skilling point where you can start and use that to get that equipment, which I hope will come in 2014. But if it doesn't, then, well, I mean, we're just going to see this continuing mechanic. And if things aren't taken care of, we could end up with a similar problem on the skilling side like we had last year on the combat side before the evolution in combat fixed everything. So, So what kind of armor do you use?
I was using Bandos, that's all I have.
And that's level 75, right?
I guess so.
Yeah. Same for me. On Slayer and general things like that, even that last quest, the dwarf quest, I killed those NPCs using just my basic Toriag's plate body and whatnot. So I am honestly just on the level 70 tier still. I am working on the ports currently to get all of the ports armor, the tank armor for level 85, and then after that I will upgrade to ports armor. But for now, Barrows has been more than enough for almost everything. The only times I really felt as though I could have gone with more defense were my bossing endeavors with the Queen Black Dragon, for example. Granted, level 70 is not enough to do the new bosses that are in-game, but you got to work your way up to a funding model or at least get the player on ports armor in order to do that. So I'm happy with what I got right now, and it's cheap and it works, which is more than enough for Slayer. So like you said, you use Bandos for this this new Slayer update, so you might as well do the same for all Slayer tasks. And you went with your double chaotic rapiers to do that as well. So that's level 80. So yeah, you don't exactly need dry gores or anything special in order to fight the highest of new content in RS. So
doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt, but still, it's not necessary.
Yeah, all right.
All right, I think that pretty much covers that one. Let us know what you think. Contact us, Shane12088. On RS or other places as well. Alrighty, so moving on. You can read the next question.
Alright, this question is from Armumska. Hello, Shane and Temple Tricky. I was wondering about the other day, how do servers work for RuneScape? Obviously, they are designed to run 24/7, but when they update the code for updates, do they need some sort of maintenance, i.e. shut down, let it chill for an hour? Also, I need some help with leveling range. I am level 86, which makes me stuck at a weird high level, no weapons which are decent to use. I don't have chaotix nor the tokens for it. Sorry, tier bow are a bit too pricey, and price isn't stable as I might lose money in the long run with it. Ain't the best PVMer for that cute Queen Black Dragon boss bow, which makes me stuck with the crystal bow. Any pointers to help me out?
So first off, what was that? Was that French?
No, I don't know what that was. I just wanted it to sound different.
Yeah, it sounded almost French to me.
That wasn't even close to being French, but okay. I'll go whatever you want.
Alrighty. servers. No, they don't need to cool them down for an hour or whatever. Servers that run RuneScape and games, RSBNB, that sort of thing in general, are designed to run for long periods of time. Basically, what they do is they have little cabinets for the higher-end servers and shelves for all the other servers. And what they do is these servers have cooling that your computer has, or even better, high-grade heat sinks and fans. So those are always running as well. And in addition to that, they also keep the rooms climate-controlled. Air conditioning is very common in most data centers. So basically what they'll do is they'll keep the temperature nice and cool. They won't let it get too high, because if you let the ambient air temperature get too high, your hardware temperature goes up as a result, and your fans and your hardware need to work harder, and that makes them have a shorter lifespan. So most of what they're doing with the servers just works like any other server, in that it's in a climate-controlled data center. They have high-grade hardware on them, so they have a higher lifespan. And yes, they are designed to run 24/7. And when they update the code, basically this is something Jagex has pioneered, and other games take a long time to do. So take other MMOs like World of Warcraft, Star Trek Online, that sort of thing. When these guys do maintenance and shut down a server, their server is shut down for a minimum of 2 hours at a time. And when Jagex does maintenance and they update the game, their servers are up and running again in very quick order. Basically, I mean, the servers go down, and then by the time you know it, they're up and running again. So their servers are fast. And they've really pioneered that and got it down to a T. So we got to take the way that they update these servers so quickly and be very thankful for it. Because, I mean, not many people do that. In order to do that with the game as large as RuneScape really says something. So, it's a good thing.
Okay.
And if they do need to do maintenance on a server, like replace a fan or replace RAM, typically what you can do with these servers is you can have daemons running in the background to monitor, to tell you if you got a piece of bad RAM or a bad hard drive or something like that. Then occasionally you'll see that they take a certain world down or something, and that's when they might be doing hardware upgrades on it or something like that. So that's when they do their updates. Alrighty, sweet. Next part.
Your turn.
Well, I mean, no. The next part of his question about ranged. Oh, I figured we could both help with this, because it's something both of us have been doing recently, right?
Yeah, but I have access to Chaotic.
Ah, right. Okay.
I've been using double Chaotic. That's what I've done.
Why don't you give some ranged training pointers then, and then I'll come in after with the weapon.
Quite honestly, what I've been doing to train range is I literally just do dungeoneering and become a ranger. I bind a bunch of arrows and I go in there, dump a bunch of bonuses for range while I'm in there, and just have at it. And yeah, I got me to 90 range.
All right.
And you can get your Chaotic on the way too. There is the old way of the whole Red Chimchampas killing the mummies, but that's kind of been nerfed since protection prayers don't protect you fully now.
Yeah. All right. For me, training has really just been classic range training at the Water Fiends primarily. Just been doing that for Crimson Charms. You could do other things as well, like you could fight these new Slayer monsters if you have a high level slayer, so there's that. That's the kind of training I prefer for combat. So you just got to choose something that fits your playstyle, really. But in regards to weapons, you are definitely in a bind with what you say. Zarite bow, you're right. It is expensive, but it doesn't run out. So you could do that, but I think ultimately a bolt is better these days. Just because more things seem to be weak to bolts than they are weak to arrows. So I would not recommend the Zoraibo for that reason.
Just use your rune, double rune crossbows. That should be pretty decent.
No,
I use
that's
adamantium bolts with it.
That's level 50. Oh, that is not good. That is not good. Crystal bow, I would say, go for. But in regards to the Queen Black Dragon is a simple thing to fight. At least I found it. I did it on my first go and surprisingly killed it all the way. I was just trying to get to tier 4 in order to get the Royal Crossbow, but I took it down all the way. Basically, all you need to do in order to get a Royal Crossbow is get to tier 4 of the Queen Black Dragon, which is simple to do now, I think. Providing you have, I'd say, upwards of at least 85 on the melee skills, I'm going to say. 85 strength, attack, defense. Higher is better, of course. So that's what
you
want
for
stats.
And you just used the Bandos armor, didn't you?
No,
you
I didn't.
Fighting it?
I actually
the Bandos,
used...
Barrows armor.
Yeah, Barrows. I just used Varax, because ever since Evolution of Combat, the set bonus for the full Varak armor is a flat damage boost whenever you got the full set. So if you can get a damage boost, why not, right? So that's why I chose Varax. And it basically involved using prayer renewal potions, prayer potions, rocktail soup, extreme...
Super anti-fire.
Yeah.
Or extreme,
super,
yeah.
Extreme anti-fire, yeah. Basically, the reason you use the extreme anti-fires is because Varax is a two-handed set, meaning you can't use a Dragonfire shield. So you don't want that fire hitting you, and the extreme anti-fires do provide 100% resist to the Dragonfire. So that's why you want to use that. And then just use extreme potions in order to do it. And then basically the whole thing revolves around timing and just meleeing the thing with high thresholds, like we mentioned earlier. Thresholds are where you want to be for this. The only hard part about doing this is running and avoiding the tortured souls, because they'll spawn these clouds, and you need to make sure that you don't get caught up in one of them, because if you do, you'll get hit for something. I think it was between 12 and 1500 damage per tick. So just keep that in mind. Yes. And then it's just a matter of killing the slugs and tagging the portals, and then you're done. You know, I could actually put together a little supplemental on this, depending what everyone thinks. I might do that this coming week, based on what the update looks like. Killing,
also do a focus on it if you wanted to.
Yeah, we could, because killing the QBD is something that anyone with 80 ranged should do. For the Royal Crossbow, given that it's a free crossbow and second best crossbow in the game. So, yeah, let's look into that.
Alrighty,
the next question is from Pernasius. With Christmas almost upon us, Jagex have introduced Christmas trees and snow into the game again in various cities around Gilenor. Personally, I like the idea of different seasons in the game. What do you think? Would you like to see more seasonal changes introduced into the game? Or do you think they should just stick to doing it in December? I'd like to see fallen leaves in autumn, or fall, as Americans call it, and perhaps baby animals and flowers in spring. It would probably take a bit of effort for the developers for what would essentially be cosmetic only, but it would be interesting to see. Pre-congratulations on your 90 Divination 2, Shane. I know you aren't far off. Thanks for taking the time to answer my question, and happy RuneScaping from Pern.
All right, Shane. Seasons in the game?
You know, that's a good idea, I think. Be nice to see snow in some parts of the world just appear for the month of December, more so than just the Christmas trees, I think. But, you know, they already do this with spring and the lilies of the valley. They've been doing that for a number of years. So they already got spring covered.
Yeah, you know what we should really do, Shane? We should build our sleds again and go sledding in RS.
Yeah, that would be nice. I actually still got mine in the bank from that one quest. It's too bad it only got to be used once.
I went back there. It was fun. Remember? I don't know if I still have it, though, because I was running out of bank space. I had to make sacrifices.
Yeah, definitely would be a good idea to see the trees change color and everything. You know, granted, they would do it in December because not everywhere has 6 months winters like we do here. Yep, snow from the end of October until April.
Freaking Canadians.
Indeed. So, I'd be all for this. And, I mean, they already got spring, so why not, right?
Yeah, and, actually, if you think about it right now, Murmanska is probably in torture over the heat wave over there.
Yeah, that too. So, ah! I mean, you know, another thing that would be nice to see would be the sun in the sky, because in the HTML5 client, you can actually see the sky. So imagine if they put a sun at a certain area in the direction that the shadows would be coming from. That'd be nice to see. Then if you go somewhere like the swamp or Drainer Village, you get to see the moon. And this actually goes back to what I said last week. Remember I said about the trees in the tutorial, how the trees look so nice there? Would be nice if we could see graphical changes like that come into the main game. So I'm all for this idea. Mm-hmm. What about you? Did you say yes, no, maybe so?
I got no problem with it, although, you know, unfortunately, Shane, not all computers are made from this decade. And so depending on where the kids are playing from, it could be a problem with it, but I guess you always just turn it off if there's an option for it. It shouldn't be that hard to implement an option.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like the same thing, seasonal embellishments or like the skyboxes, that sort of thing. So anyways, good idea. I like it. All right, that's it for questions, everyone. Thank you for sending those in. If you want to send in an audio question, you can do that. Just email them to questions@rsbnb.com or leave them on Skype, RSBNB Update, and we'll get to them as soon as we can. So look forward to hearing your questions. All righty. What's in tech news?
Okay, now we move on to tech news. First things first, 2 million Facebook, Gmail, Twitter passwords stolen in a massive hack. I believe Yahoo was part of this as well.
Yeah, and you know the thing is they say hack. It really wasn't a hack, so to speak. It's not like these systems were breached on their end. It was the users that were actually breached. I just want to provide that correction before we go any further.
Okay.
So basically what happened is that going back to November, discovered that a server in the Netherlands had compromised credentials for 93,000 websites, of which included Facebook, 318,000 Facebook accounts, 70,000 Google accounts, 60,000 Yahoo accounts, 22,000 Twitter accounts, and the list goes on. So there's huge amounts of data available for this. And it really goes to show how important keeping your computer clean is. This actually came from a virus that installed a keylogger on Windows computers. So it just goes to say that you do not want to download strange things. You do not want to open email attachments or download email attachments from people you don't know or you aren't expecting. Because if you do that, you are entirely up for being vulnerable to getting hit by these exploits. So just don't do that. It will keep your computer cleaner, and it will make it run faster, too, if you don't install strange things.
And like the old saying goes, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Exactly.
Don't
exactly
buy that $6 iPad.
Very good, very good. But yeah, I mean, this is a pretty big virus for modern era, given most everything these days comes with Windows Defender enabled. So you really got to wonder how this thing got through that. But it's always good to practice vigilance. And, you know, for those of you guys who weren't around in the late 90s and early 2000s for the early days of Windows XP and internet viruses, I think all of us who were around back then and got schooled by these things and learned permanently became more vigilant and really have altered our behaviors, so to speak. So this could be the same thing happening here again, where people are getting hit and then they're going to get hit by massive amounts. Because, you know, in the recent years, hasn't it seemed as though most things have shifted towards more the spyware front than the malware front in terms of viruses and whatnot?
Okay.
No, I'm asking you, did you think that's been a shift?
Yeah. I've never been a speculator of technology. Well, whatever you think is going to happen, the opposite always. Something better happens. Or something else even worse happens. Just
All right, then. Well, just be careful with what you're inputting, then. And with that being said, let's move on to something rather amusing now, shall we?
Okay. Let's see. Well, next part?
Damn, yep, go for it.
Can't move. There we go. Xbox One and PlayStation 4 games penalize players for cursing in their own home.
This is great, isn't it? Basically what happened is an Xbox One gamer posted a video to YouTube showing him being penalized when his Kinect caught him swearing while he was playing a game. So basically he was playing NBA 2K14, and he got issued a technical foul because for dropping the F-bomb, apparently, while playing. So the game will listen to you, and if it hears you say something bad, it's going to penalize you the same way you would be penalized by a ref in the real world. I just think this is great. It just adds a whole other level of realism to games.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not like we do that now, is it?
So, a couple of times when we play, I tend to get frustrated. I'm sure there are people out there who are much worse than I am.
Yeah, and I mean, this is just listening to you passively. So you do that, and then the game stops, and whoops, okay. Remember, we're playing a game here. We don't want to disrupt the other team, so keep this in mind if you got an Xbox One or a PS4, because it could cause problems for your gaming. But I was pondering this. You know how Call of Duty has all the people that like to swear on the Xbox mics, right? I was thinking, what if they slip this in for Call of Duty or something like that? That'd just be too amusing.
What did I call someone like that? I stopped playing Call of Duty after the second one.
Yeah, so
you know, usually people on PCs are more happy with TeamSpeak than they are with the game itself. So, yeah, and they want to scream, let them scream.
All right.
But, you know, the thing is, they're doing it in their own home, and that's one thing. You know, everyone's all about, oh, Xbox voice activated. We knew something like this was going to happen.
Yeah, well, at least it's not turning the consoles off like it did on the 360. So, anyways, I just found this story too funny, and it had to get put in here. So, alrighty. So let's move on to the last piece of tech news for the week, and that is the cutoff date for Windows 7 has been announced. As of next year, Windows 7 won't be able to be sold anymore by the OEM manufacturers. So that's one thing about Windows 7 that we learned. But also, security fixes and support, extended support, will run until January 14th, 2020. which is 6 years from this coming month. So that's still a long time for this version of Windows. So all you guys out there who are happy with Windows 7 and don't want to move off it because you don't like Windows 8, you have another 6 years with your OS.
In theory, by that time, Windows 10 would be out.
Windows 8 plus 6? Windows 14, probably.
Why 14?
Oh, right. Okay, right. They're only doing two of them. So, yeah, Windows 10. You're right. You're right.
And we'll all be using Windows 9, because supposedly it's going to be the better one. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, it's like the even-odd rule in Star Trek. Even-odd Star Trek movies are good. Odd ones are bad. Same thing goes for the Windows releases, but reversed. Windows XP, good. Windows Vista, not perceived as good. Windows 7, good, etc. So, you're right. Alrighty, so that's it for tech news. Let's move on to the Skill of the Month update for December, and that's Dungeoneering. What do you think of Dungeoneering Skill of the Month? Are they fair?
Those who have a good group, it's fun. Those who want to solo, have a challenge out of them. Those that don't want to do it, you're not even part of it anyway.
Yeah, so you really don't have to complain. I mean, I know Dungeoneering XP scales quite a bit as you level up, but that's just part of the way it plays. Currently, we already appear to have a bit of a runaway for this month. JamAndy52 is currently in the lead with around 12.8 million experience gained. Second place is Clotin with around 5 million. And third place is Brian, almost tied with One Stone Pwn at 1.2 million. So definitely shaping up to be an interesting two-person race again, as we saw last month. But it's certainly not as pronounced as it was last month. So still a long ways to go, only a week in. You have any comments since you're 100 Dungeoneering Plus on this one?
Hopefully get a good group and perseverance.
Okay.
And do your C1s, because you don't want those.
Oh, by the way, your summoning level is 91.
Yes. Uh-huh. Why are you spying on me?
Oh, I'm just checking the high scores, that's all. Alrighty. Also, remember to send those clips in, because we just had a good clip this episode of an accent that turned out to be French. So if you want to hear things like that, or you remember things like that, you remember strange accents, you remember strange voices, you can send the clips in. We definitely need those for this time of the year. Just visit update.rsbnb.com/clips, and you can send your clips in. Just include the episode number and where it is, and we will work on including these in the end of year clip show, which is fast approaching. Less than 3 weeks away now. So, always good fun to record that episode. Alrighty. So, achievements of the... Or no, Informer. No, achievements of the week. I'm sorry, I got it myself. What do we got for achievements of the week? We got a whole boatload of them.
Yeah, we actually got a nice chunk here. We have... JamAndy52 with 99 defense on December 5th. Clayton, who got 99 Dungeoneering on December 3rd. Parnassius got 99 attack and 99 strength on the 2nd. JamAndy52 again got 99 range on December 1st. And Mormumska got 99 Herblore on November 30th. Right before
good work,
new
everyone.
Month.
There's six of them. No one's beat Uncle Dano's 12.
I think that's not going to happen anytime soon. It's a new player. Because most of us already got a bunch of 99s somewhere.
This is true.
4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. And I'm too lazy to wait. Well, maybe Mike, but Mike doesn't want to do it anytime soon. Yes. Mike ever gets everything to 98.9 on everything, that would be a very interesting getting 99 and everything.
Except for Constitution, which he accidentally got. Alrighty. Congratulations, everyone, and good work. Now I'd just like to remind everyone that Informer is still looking for applications, so if you want to send those in, we have a topic where you can figure out what you need to do to send them in. But in a nutshell, you need to enjoy writing about RuneScape and be able to do it with a good level of proficiency in the English language. So you can find a link to that on the forums or in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. Alrighty. Do you have a pick of the week?
No, I do not.
Alright, well, that's just fine. I got one. It's something I used again because I visit this site maybe 2 to 3 times a year and step up my collection. Basically, the website is Interfaceless Lift. I don't think we've done this as a pick before, but basically what this website is it's a website where you can get free wallpapers for your computer, your iPhone, whatever you want. They also got themes and icons, which I don't use, but huge selection of pictures. Most of them are real-world photos that have been edited for wallpaper use. So you can visit this website and just pop in your screen size and then download wallpapers for your computer. And of course, all of them are free. You can pay for a zip collection of everything on the website if you want, but you don't have to pay for them. So it's a very good website because you can search by tag, size, that sort of thing. So if you're looking for wallpapers of Canada or winter scenes, you can just pop that in and get them right away. So it's a good thing to do, I think, because most of the wallpapers you get on your computer nowadays are just fairly basic and aren't exactly always the best quality compared to what photographers actually put out there. Because if you look at the wallpapers that come with Windows 7 and Windows 8, sometimes they're actually pixelated. So it's always nice to get them at places where where people actually strive to do this sort of thing. So interfacelift.com is the pick.
Okay, that's cool, Shane.
Yeah. So it's a free website that everyone can use.
All right. Alrighty.
What you been up to?
I actually just got 90... Let's see, what did I get? I can't remember what I got this way. I think I got... So, managed to get 96 prayer, and I found out that I can finish up the Fallen Dorian task set, so I've managed to... Now I have a Tier 4 Fallen Dorian shield that I can use.
Very nice. Very nice indeed.
Thanks to PlayerUnknown Ports, they got me the XP, because I keep getting the XP ones. And trying to, did some kind of messing around with everything to see what gave, what experience people it gave. Did a bunch of fire making because Lord knows in this Citadel there's never any charcoal for anyone else unless you go there ripe as it resets. There's never enough charcoal in here.
All right. Anything else?
That's about it. Tried out the new monsters and did a little Cures of Guthix to level up my divination.
Alrighty, sounds good. For me this week, I have been just doing divination training primarily, and the ports, of course. Got 89 and should be getting around 90 this weekend. So that's pretty much all I've been up to. I don't know what I'll be doing after that, but I've brought out the full Santa set that I normally wear around this time of year. I remember last year I Didn't pull it out until about a week and a half before, and I felt that it was too short. So I pulled it out first week of December this year, and I think that's definitely the way to go. So already in the holiday spirit on RS.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, and the years are low to delightful. Okay, I'm done.
Alrighty. Well, with that being said, we're done for this week's RSBMB update. We'll see you next week. And remember, if you want to talk to me, you can just add Shane12088 on RS or email me, Shane@rsbmb.com. And we'll see you next week, everyone.